awesome season this is, and a beautiful season. That's what it should be. That's what it can be. That's what it ought to be. And all of that is up to us. It's about our perspective. And I'm aware of all of the things that make this a challenging season for many people, and difficult days for many people. But I encourage you to choose joy. I encourage you to reach for joy. And know this, that things will not bring joy. Things do not change us. Things are just things. They come and go, they break, they get lost, things get stolen, things wear out. But you know what? My peace, my joy, when it is grounded in God, guess what? God never wears out. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. He never breaks. He never gets lost. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Did we just wipe out all of those on the tree? All right, Thomas got the last one. Y'all wiped them out? Come on, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. Somebody do the math. If it started with 54 times 3, we're, 162. I was getting there. Good Lord, just give me a second. Miss Math, 162 gifts are making a difference. Amen. So I want to talk to you about hope today. I want to talk to you about the thrill of hope. And I want to begin this Christmas season with the subject of hope. Not a fairy tale kind of hope, because I've learned you can have stuff and not have hope. I've learned you can have a job but not have hope. I've even learned you can have money and not have hope. You can have family close and up near, but still not have hope. I submit this morning that the hopeless life is far worse than the penniless life. The hopeless life is worse than a penniless life. Being hopeless is worse than being lonely. Because here's what I've learned. Hope is the currency of change. I start hoping things can be different, and then comes the motivation to change the things that need to be changed so that I can see the difference in my life. This is not the scripture text per se, but Hebrews 11 and 1 is powerful. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, it all starts with hope. Maybe you don't have faith yet. Maybe all you have is hope. Or maybe you are lower than that and you don't even have hope. Here's the message today in a nutshell. Stop looking within and start looking to God. Stop trying to find hope in you and start giving yourself to God, because He is our source. Stop looking to others for what they can do and look to God, because God still has the answer. Does anybody believe that today? He's always been the answer. If you don't know where to start today, start with God. Jude said last Sunday powerfully that success is in the seeking. When we seek God, when we reach for God, when we start there, we are going to find exactly what it is we are looking for. Here is the scripture text and foundation today, Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope, I love that. I love what Paul says and how he describes it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. What is that going to do if we put our trust in him? He's going to fill us with joy. He's going to fill us with peace. Then what's going to happen? You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone feel like you would love to overflow with hope? I'd love to have so much hope in my life that it leaves me optimistic about everything. It leaves me encouraged about everything. It leaves me renewed about the things that I face in my life, because there is a certain kind of hope that doesn't just sit quietly in your heart. I'm talking about the hope that thrills the heart. It is a thrill you can feel. It is a thrill that moves you and that motivates you. I'm talking about the kind of hope that wakes you up, the kind of hope that stirs something in your spirit and causes you to lean forward and to sit up straight and to get to the edge of your seat because you are expectant for what God can do. I'm talking about an old hope, an ancient hope, if you will, because this is the hope that entered the world wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This hope shakes the darkness. This hope shakes darkness and says, it will not end like this. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, whatever may be happening in your world right now, whatever may be going on in your immediate surrounding right now, it will not end like this. I love the old Christmas carol, "Oh Holy Night," as far as I'm concerned. Ms. Heather sings it as beautiful as I've ever heard it sung, and maybe we'll hear that this season, but that famed Christmas carol was first a poem that was written in 1843. Music was added to make it a hymn in 1847. It's a favorite for many of us, but it contains one of my favorite lines, stanzas ever. It says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." Why does the world rejoice? Because when Christ enters the story can no longer stay the same. The reason the weary world, the reason the weary life, the reason the weary family, the reason the weary marriage, the reason the weary finances rejoice is because when you get Jesus involved in any one of those things have to change for the better. Maybe you need him to start working in your life. Maybe you need him to start working in your marriage. Maybe you need him to start working in the lives of teenagers. Maybe you need him to start working in all of the things. When Jesus enters the story changes. So my prayer today is, come, Lord, into my life. Come fully, fully into my life. Fill every part, my head, my heart, my hands. Change me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal the way I think. Heal the way I act. Heal the way I respond. Heal the way I speak. Thrill me with your hope. I want to explore the thrill of hope today in just a few moments. Just three things that I want to share with you today. First of all, hope breaks into darkness. Hope breaks into darkness. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's the first part of that verse. Isaiah is writing and talking about the darkness that Israel knew and lived in. It was great oppression. There was a silence from heaven that lasted 400 years, known as the silent years. They were under this heavy Roman rule. There were no prophets that were declaring and decreeing. And yet Isaiah says, light is coming. I know things are really bleak right now. I know things are really dark right now. I know it seems like everything is against us right now, but light is coming. You know what? I don't need to remind any of us what's wrong. It's on our news. It's on our feeds. We see all of the problems. We know all of the issues backward and forward. You're well familiar with the challenges. What you need to know today is that there is hope. There is hope for light. There is hope for breakthrough. There is hope for healing. Does anybody believe that today? Come to speak to your hope. What is it about hope that is so thrilling? It's thrilling because hope doesn't wait for ideal conditions. It shines brightest when everything seems dim. In the darkest seasons of your life, when you are unsure, when you are overwhelmed, when you are worn out, God's hope does not knock. His hope breaks in. His hope intrudes. His hope interrupts. It invades. It shines because hope thrills. It thrills because it intrudes. God's hope is nosy. He'll get up in your business. What is this that you are going through? What is this that you are dealing with? What is this that you are feeling? What is this darkness that has swarmed into your life, tapping us on the shoulder? God does not ask for permission from our problems to move in our life. God declares his promise over our present reality. God speaks hope over our present circumstances. I want someone to hear me today. If you've been in darkness, don't misinterpret it. Darkness is not your ending. It's simply the backdrop that makes God's hope impossible to ignore. The darker the night, they said, the brighter the light. The light is God's hope shining in your life. Oh, but if I look away from that light, I see this darkness, I see this sadness, I see this difficulty. But no, God's hope shines brighter, even in my darkness. And I am thankful today that hope breaks into darkness. I'll tell you the second thing that hope does. Hope is a person, not a feeling. Hope is a person, not a feeling. Luke 2:10-11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Hope is a person, not a feeling. I'm thankful for the feeling. I'm thankful anytime I feel encouraged, anytime I feel strong, but I realize that is the result of God's presence in my life. And I believe this is where the line gets drawn when it comes to modern thinking and culture. Because now we say things like, hey, I need you to send me good vibes. What is that? What does that mean? I see people posting on their social media, I'm having a hard day, send vibes. I'm like looking for vibe. I don't have any vibes. I don't know what that is. How can I send you a good vibe? What I can do is pray for you. What I can do is speak life over you. What I can do is rebuke devils for you. I don't know about vibes, because hope is a person. It's not a vibe. It's not a feeling. Hope is a savior. Hope is not a wish. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not positive thinking. Oh, for the believer, hope is Jesus himself. That's why the vibes only last so long. The good thoughts only last so long. But if you get the person, if you get Jesus, Jesus will endure forever. Jesus will be that friend that sticks closer than any brother. Jesus is the one that'll run your race with you. Jesus is the one that'll be there in the middle of the night. Is anybody thankful for the presence of the Lord in your life? For the believer, hope is Jesus. The angels didn't announce a new philosophy or a new program. It wasn't a new religion they were introducing. They announced a birth. Hope took on skin. Hope learned to walk. Hope touched lepers, calmed storms. Hope raised the dead. Hope hung on a cross. And guess what? Hope ran out of the tomb. Hope is still alive. Hope is real. Tell somebody, I give you Jesus. That song was appropriate today. I'm not giving you vibes. I'm not giving you positive thoughts. I'm giving you the presence of the Lord. I'm giving you the real and lasting hope that makes the difference in your life. That's why hope thrills. Hope thrills because it's personal. Hope thrills because it's relational. Hope thrills because Jesus doesn't just give hope. He is hope. Hear me today. When life feels unstable, when your hope, when life feels unstable, let me say it this way. Your hope is not anchored in conditions. Your hope is not anchored in circumstances. Your hope is anchored in Christ, who is unchanging. He is undefeated. He is risen, and he is still reigning over our lives. Today, someone give him a hand clap of praise in this room. Here's the third thing. I'm moving quick today. I've fought a cold, and I feel my voice going faster and faster. But the third thing is hope pulls you into a future that God has prepared. Hope pulls you into a future God has prepared. Hebrews 6 and 19, the first part of that verse, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope. It is an anchor. You see, anchors in the traditional sense, they're used to keep things in place. If you have a boat anchor, you drop the anchor, it's going to keep the boat in place, unmoving, unable to drift a far distance. But biblical hope is different, because biblical hope anchors you forward. You are now anchored in God, but God is moving. The thing is, if you were in a boat and the anchor was drifting on you, then you might have something to worry about. But if you are anchored in God, and God is the one moving, that means he is fully in charge. He is fully in control. And whatever destination he has chosen for you, whatever destination he has picked out for you, it is going to leave you better than your plans, your idea, your will could have ever led you or or left you. I want to be anchored in the things of God. Because being anchored to God's plan means that God's plan is to move us forward. That kind of hope, it reaches into the future that God has designed and it pulls you toward it. Some of you, God is trying to pull you into the future that He's had prepared, and you're digging heels in saying, I don't know. What is it? Do you like your misery? Do you like the comfort of the chaos? It's the chaos I know. It's the chaos I'm used to. It's the stress that I've become so familiar with. And God is saying, hey, I'm trying to lead you out of that. Just be anchored in me. Don't anchor in the chaos. Don't anchor in the stress. Don't anchor in the junk. Get anchored in me and let me order your life. Let me guide the steps of your life. Let me lead you into the future that I have prepared for you. That's the thrill of hope. The thrill of hope is the Holy Spirit whispering, there is more. There is more than what you see right now. God is not finished working. The thrill of hope is the Holy Spirit whispering, your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in front of you. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor Darrell, I'm sitting here all of 80 years old. My best days are not behind me. No. The rest of your days can be the best of your days. If you're anchored in Him, if you're anchored in His plan, if you're anchored in His will, that's the thrill of hope. Don't just live life waiting to die. Live life expecting God to do something great. Wake up with hope that moves you and motivates you and stirs you. Because believe it or not, there is something on the horizon that you can't see yet. You can't see it yet. Have you ever been on a trip? Y'all know me, I still follow maps everywhere I go because I did end up on 212 the other day and I thought, oh wow. I'm on 212, 8 years, I didn't know. Okay, this is awesome. I'm learning my way around, maybe the map was trying to get me around some traffic, but it led me down some roads that I had not been on yet. And as I'm going down this road, I'm like, wow, this is beautiful, these farm places, these houses, this is gorgeous, and the road was winding, just those beautiful country roads, and I found myself paying even closer attention and even more attention. I mean, you know, you got to have a certain level of attention to drive safely, but now I'm anticipating, what am I going to see around the next corner? What kind of beautiful home place? What beautiful farmland? What beautiful pasture am I going to see around the next bend? I want to live my life that way. God, what are you going to do next? I'm excited to wake up today because I don't know what's going to be around the next bend. I don't know what next beautiful, miraculous, supernatural, incredible thing I am going to get to witness today, but I am excited to see it. I'm excited to experience it because it is the thrill of hope to know that something is happening, to know that God is working. No, hope does not ignore reality. Hope looks at reality and declares God will have the final word. Whatever you're facing today, whatever's happening in your life today, whatever is swirling in your world today, you need to hear this preacher. God will have the final word in your life. You may not feel that you're making progress, but hope is pulling you. When you can't see movement, hope is still working. When you can't figure out the next step, hope is still leading. Because your future and mine is not determined by your failure or your fatigue. Our future is determined by the faithfulness of God. I don't know who needs to hear that today. Probably someone who's just had a failure. Maybe someone who is experiencing mental, physical, familial, financial fatigue. Your failure, your fatigue does not determine your future. Your future is determined by the faithfulness of God. Which means whatever I'm experiencing right now, whatever challenge in the family, whatever difficulty in the finance, this too shall pass. Because I'm not anchored to my failure. I'm not anchored to my mess. I'm not anchored in my chaos. I'm anchored in God. And God is moving me forward, which means ultimately I will get out of this current crisis. A weary world rejoices. The world is weary. People are weary. Churches are weary. Families are weary. But the message of Christmas is still the same. It's a thrill of hope. It's not a flicker. It's not a faint spark. It's a thrill. Because God is our hope. Lord, I'm praying for hope that awakens us. I'm praying for hope that shakes us. Hope that fills our life. Hope that pulls us forward. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.